Yeah. Okay. Fisher Body History interview with Mr. Monte Jackson on December 21st, 2005 at the Jobs Bank. The time is approximately 12:15 p.m. And we'll first start off with the name of the team members. Marilyn Coulter.
Doreen Howard.
John Fiedewa.
All right. Monte, can you please say and spell your last name for us?
Jackson. J-A-C-K-S-O-N.
And your address?
4409 Stillwell.
And you're in mail. Your marital status?
Married.
And do you have any children?
One child, a son.
And his age?
11.
Okay, now, were you born in Lansing, or where were you born?
Born and raised in Lansing, Michigan.
Okay, and your education level?
High school.
High school. Do you have any college?
Well, I have a couple of college credits, but, you know, here and there. I have, like, maybe 20 altogether, so not
okay. Any military background?
No military.
Okay, and what did your parents do?
My father was a welder for over 30 years with, it's Efficiency Productions that was out in Okemos. My mom was a nurse for a few years, but she worked off and on because we had 10 kids in my family, so she was mainly at home.
Okay. What did you do before you hired into Fisher Body?
Well, I've worked for party stores. I've worked at video stores. I've worked at grocery stores. Just that kind of stuff. I've always been in the food industry, seems like, somehow.
Oh, okay. So what date did you hire in?
December 3rd, 1984.
You came in, and in 1984, you were how old?
I was, I remember I was 24, I think it was, yeah.
24?
Yeah, 24.
So, before you hired into Fisher Body, and you said you grew up in Lansing and you went to school, did you know anything about Fisher Body prior to hiring in?
You know, prior to hiring in, I didn't know about Fisher Body, but I knew about Oldsmobile until when I was growing up, you know, because I lived over on Riverview, which you can see the Oldsmobile sign from, and I really didn't know too much about Fisher Body until I got into my 20s.
What was it like growing up in a city where factories were?
When I grew up, it wasn't really a big issue. It was just, they were there, and nobody really worried about them.
Did you ever have any thoughts about the people who worked there?
I knew a lot of people who worked there in my neighborhood growing up. Oh, I'd say maybe 20%, maybe a little bit less, worked at the shop. So you kind of got into the flow when changeover came and when they had downtime and stuff like that. So downtime is when, you know, they have time off work. So, you know, you kind of got used to what goes on in the shop and kind of knew a little bit about it.
Okay. So why did you hire the Fisher Body?
I got in line in 1979, was the year I graduated, and I got back out of line because I said to myself, I don't know if I want to work in a factory, so I got out of line, and then I worked at Kroger's until 84, and the money, the wages got to the point where, well, they're making a lot more over there, so I had to go where the money was, so I got to the factory.
So what process did you go through?
When I hired in, they did all the hiring right out of the, well, actually, the first time I got in line, they did all the hiring out of a payroll at the shop. But the second time I got in line to get hired, we were in the unemployment office on Cedar Street, and it was lined up maybe 3.5 city blocks long in line to get a job at Fisher Body.
So how long did you have to wait online?
Actually, I got up that morning, I called my older sister, and I told her, I said, I was going over and get in line, and it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't start taking names until like 7. We got in line, and we were about halfway. By the time we got there at 5, we were about halfway in that 3-block radius. So all together, I say we were in line 3-4 hours.
So how long did it take them to call you?
Well, there was a lot of process. First, that you filled out a form at the unemployment office, and they did whatever processing they had to do, and then they sent you back saying that you were on the list. Then you got a call from General Motors to come down and take, I don't know if I took a physical first. Yeah, I must have taken the physical first, and then You know, if you pass the physical, you go on to another step where you do an interview. If you pass the interview, you go to your classes, and then you, if you pass, you go to your classes, you get in the General Motors.
So you got in. Yes. Your first day, what did you think about the building that when you walked in? What department did you hire in, and what did you think?
I hired in at... in December, and I came in the building, and I was amazed because I had never been in a building as large as Fisher Body in my life. I was scared. I was intimidated. I got on my job, and for the first 6 months, I came from the door straight to my job and never moved, never went to the bathroom, and just did my job and left out because I was scared that I couldn't find my way back to my job if I left it. I hired in paint repair, which is a... high overtime and high seniority job, but at the time I hired in, they just needed a body, so I worked in paint repair for 6 months and kind of got wet working 13 hours a day, 6 days a week, and which was went on for this almost the entire 6 months I was there.
And what shift were you on?
I was a night shift, second shift.
So 13 hours a day, second shift, what was it like?
Well, it wasn't so much the hours because I had always worked two jobs before. Even when I worked at Kroger's, I had worked at a video store. So it wasn't so much the hours. It was just the, you know, it was just getting used to being in a factory setting because most people don't realize that working in a factory is different than any other job is because you have a time to do a job in, a space to do a job in, and you've got to do it, get it done, and move on to your next job. So and it may be spraying a hood or painting the fender or whatever, but you have to do it in your 52 seconds or whatever time they allotted you. So it was just getting used to General Motors' pace versus my pace.
So what were the people like?
Actually, the people were, that was the best thing, the good thing. I remember, you know, when I came in, you know, you're scared. So, you know, and they were all friendly. They were all, you know, more than willing to help you out. So the people were great. You know, I met people and I got along well. I never had a problem with the people at General Motors.
So were there any kind of new hire initiations, any pranks?
Well, the only one that I can remember is the Christmas turkey. I don't know if you've heard of that one where, did you get your Christmas turkey? You got to go over to the Union Hall after work and get your Christmas turkey, and you realize that there's nobody here, and you've been got, you know, and you've got the go ask the foreman for a left-handed wrench or something like that when they're all the same. So, you know, it's just those little cranks like that.
So how did you learn your job?
Most of it was like you come in and you work with someone, either a person that does the job normally that you're replacing, or you would be trained by a coordinator, which is someone that would know all the jobs in the area and teach the people and give people breaks, and he would break you in on the job. And it was mostly at that time just on the job training. You would learn as you went along with somebody.
So you said you did your first 6 months in the repair
right
department and spraying or things like that. How long did you work in the paint department?
I probably worked in the paint department anywhere from 14 to 16 months right in there, and I got bumped out of paint, and which means that the department was reducing its staff, so I had to level out into another department, which was a body shop, and I went down to body shop.
Now, one thing that I would like the people to know is, Monte, how tall are you?
I'm 6'7".
Now, being 6'7" in an automotive factory, some of the jobs are done inside the vehicle, some of them are out. Was there any kind of limitations because you were such a tall individual?
Well, there's no limitations. You do your job, but this, you just do it in your way. It's like a lot of times, when other people would have to climb in the car, I could lean into the car and do it. When other people would have to go through the door, I could go through the window. You know, so there's you know, you have to do the job the best way for you, you know. But I don't think I've ever been restricted off. I've only been restricted off one job, is that when I went to trim and they put in a door line, and the carrier that ran overhead was lower than I was tall, so it was a work hazard. So I, that's the only job that I ever got restricted off because of my height.
When you work in, you have a trip paint to body. What was that transition like for you? What was there a difference in people? Was there a difference in cultures and areas?
Oh yeah, it's totally different. If you go from paint to body, it's a paint is a clean area, which means you have to wear special clothes. You can't just come in with you know, your street clothes, and you have to have coveralls. You have to wear rubber gloves, rubber boots, because I was spraying. When you go to body shop, it's you have to wear blue jeans. You have to wear long sleeve shirts, and it's body shop. It's a lot darker. It's a lot. I don't know how to put it. It's a lot gloomier down there, and going down there from paint. And paint is well lit because you have to see the cars to spray them and for quality reasons. In body shop, it's more spot welding and banging and working with metal, so it's not as lit, as well lit as clean. So it was a big difference, and it was something to get used to, you know.
So what about the people?
The people, you know, at Fishbury, the people are all the same. You just, in paint, if you're spraying, you don't, you have more contact at body shop because it's open. In paint, you have certain areas that are closed off, so you don't have as much direct contact all day, but in body shop, it's like you can see people 50, 60 feet away, which in paint, you know, you might have a wall there or something where it's a clean room. So it was just, you know, you saw more people all the time, and there was more activity going on. But the people were all, you know, they're all about the same, and, you know, they're all good people in Fishbody.
Do you remember the first person that you met and your first supervisor?
First person that I met. There was a bunch of new hires that we all came in together at. And I'm trying to think. Matter of fact, Mark Lugman, who's a union rep now, or was a union rep, he was the first person that showed me how to spray when I first came into paint repair. He was in the clear coat booth, which is a paint you spray on the car. He was the first person that I actually worked with and was trying to tell me things about Fisher Body. My first foreman is, I can't remember his name, but he was a character. He used to, you know, growl at you and holler stuff out at you, but he was a good guy. But he was a rough, old time, you know, foreman, which, you know, was fun. And actually, I appreciate it because he'd lean in every now and then and holler at us and, you know, just, you know, make sure we were doing our jobs and go out the other way. But, you know, and I can't remember his name, but I really enjoyed working with him, though.
What would you mean by when you say a rough old time?
Well, the foremans in Fisher Body have changed. They've gone from more of a, you know, you come up through the ranks and become foreman to more you know, you come through college and then you come in and you come foreman, which is a, you know, the old time foremans seem to know the jobs and the people better than the new foremans. And so you just have a better feel. I have a better feel for the older foremans that have been around a while.
So what types of things went on in those departments? Now, did you also work in the trim department?
Yes, I worked in trim for 6 years.
6 years. Yes. So as you worked in those different departments, what types of things did you do to pass the time while you were working? Or what did you do for breaks?
Well, I was gonna say, because usually when you're working, you know, that's passing your time. But on breaks, it used to be a lot more, you know, open. It used to be a lot more, how should I put it, friendly laughter going on because break time was your time. But now it seems like since 9/11 that, you know, GM, you know, in order to keep its plants safe are kind of cutting down the amount of, you know, parties. You know, you used to come in and have every Friday day with somebody would cook and you would have some party of some sort, but now it's like you have to get permission to do anything of that sort. It kind of takes the fun out of it, you know. But so we used to have parties, we used to play cards, you know, you'd sit there and listen to the radio, you know, just anything to get through your lunch or whatever.
So what types of, what parties, things that were catered in? Did people cook their own things?
Well, it was kind of like potluck most of the time. 90% of the time it was potluck. Sometimes we'd all order pizza together. And, you know, it wouldn't have to be for any particular reason. It was Friday, you know, so we're eating, you know. So it wasn't, you know, so formal. But, you know, and every now and then we would have something catered in if it was like a retirement or something like that. Somebody was leaving and going to a different job or something. And so it kind of depended on the situation.
And then it's for holidays also.
And that was, oh, yeah, holidays. There was always a potluck and for every holiday. From Easter to Halloween to Christmas to 4th of July, there was always something to be had.
Doreen Howard, you hired in 84. During your time frame at the plant, what were some of the changes that impacted you as far as the environment and your physical surroundings, as well as the supervisory changes that have occurred over the years?
Well, the most changes have been the robots, the automation. It's just, you know, just the it's so much as far as the amount of people there. When I hired in, there was almost 7,000 people day shift to night shift working, and from that to I think we had like 3,500 or so when we shut down that. That was the biggest, the amount of people that you're around on a day-to-day basis. The foremans, like I say, you go from a foreman that's worked the line, come up through the changes, knows what it's like to be on the line, to a foreman that comes from, who knows, Alaska or somewhere, has gone to school and got his degree and everything like that, and comes in and, you know, talking to him is like kind of talking to someone that speaks a different language, because they're used to doing things from out of a book, and you're used to doing things from how that happens on the line.
Is there any significant memory, good, bad, happy, sad, that you can think of that impacted your time at Fisher Bobby?
Oh yeah, there's tons. I mean, I've worked with people there that I've known for, you know, 20 years, you know, they're having their kids. When I had my son, I remember, you know, my son was born. I had been working at General Motors for 2 years, 2.5 years. And, you know, with the people there, they brought me gifts for my son and everything like that. There's just a ton of memories of, you know, some of the friends there. You know, I've gone to their weddings, you know. It's, you know, I remember when we stopped making the first grant when I hired in. When Grand Am first came out, the model, we stopped making it and went to a different body type. And that was, you know, it was kind of, you know, sentimental, because, you know, I was here when this one started. Now we're going to a different body type. But, you know, just like now, we've closed it down. So there's a lot of different moments that you remember.
There's a lot of different moments that you had when you come. Now, did you meet your wife in the plant, or what did your wife?
No. I've met my wife. Actually, my brother introduced me to my wife on a blind date. He was seeing her cousin, and she was kind of the third wheel. So he called me up and said, "Monte, would you come and go out with me and my cousin's, my girlfriend's cousin?" And I went out and I met her, and she's originally from New York, and we started dating. He dumped her cousin, and we got married. So, so she's never worked. She works for the state of Michigan, so she's never worked at the shop or anything like that. And so it's kind of a different environment.
So if she works for the state of Michigan, I'm assuming she worked days.
Yes, she works days, and I've always worked nights.
Did that make it difficult having working separate shifts?
Well, a lot of people say it does. I think it makes it easier, because, you know, you have your weekends and you have your time together, but you don't have so much time together that you get on each other's nerves. You know, and it made it easier for when my son was born, because I was there during the day and she was there during the night, so we never had to get a babysitter. You know, so it was nice. I've always enjoyed it this way.
Now, you said your brothers. How many siblings do you have?
I have five brothers and four sisters.
Out of those 10 siblings, are there any? Do you have any others that work in the plant?
I have one sister that works here that I got in line with and hired in on the same day, 5 minutes apart from. She works at General Motors. And other than that, I don't have none of my brothers and sisters work for General Motors, but I have cousins and uncles and aunts that do.
So, do they also work in Fisher Body also, or they work for General Motors?
Actually, at the Fisher Body, I have, I think I have four cousins. I had an uncle that was a foreman, and I have an aunt that worked in paint repair.
So who was your uncle? Who was he called?
Uncle Cook.
Eldridge Cook?
Yes. Yes, my uncle, yes.
Yeah. Eldridge Cook was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy. And he can cook, too.
it does run in the family.
Yes.
Doreen Howard, over the time that you worked at our facility, did you ever buy any of the vehicles that you actually made?
Well, I've never, my wife's had two of Grand Ams. I've never driven one because I'm too big for the cars that I build. But if I could have, I would have brought a Grand Am. But it's just too small a car for me. I've driven Suburbans and large vehicles.
Being in the factory and having worked in all those different areas, being a 6'7" African American male, how was that for you? And how would you say that the climate was as far as gender and race relations?
It's kind of hard asking me because it's kind of slanted for me because being a 6'7" black male, I don't have to deal with so much static that other people get because most people leave me alone, you know. I've worked at General Motors, like I say, 20 years, and I've never ran into any racism or anything that I could see. But I've talked to people and I've seen situations that I thought looked kind of funny, but you know, to me, and I don't know if it's the times are changing or if it's just that, you know, even in life, I just seem to not have a problem with race relations.
Insofar, now you did say that there were changes and that you said that there were automotive changes and stuff like that. Did you see any types of changes in terms of how we did the business with employee involvement in the processes, and were you involved in any of those processes?
Yes, I was involved with some of the processes. Some of the processes, I think, are just make work processes, but some of them I think were good, and some were bad. But you go through them, and you get what you can out of them, And you have to learn also because General Motors is changing so much, from week to week to month to month, that a lot of stuff that's in this week might not be in next week. So you can't, like I say, marry yourself to any situation or any particular way of doing a job or any.
So, what types of processes
are
you personally
about? As far as I'm trying to think now. You gave me a good question. I wasn't ready for. Let me see. You go through your first time build classes and stuff like that. You go through your safety classes, your quality work classes, and I'm trying to think of the names of the different stuff that I've been through. And
were you part of any of the employee group participation courses?
No, I wasn't.
I know that they had a suggestion program. Did you ever?
Oh yeah. I put in a many suggestions. Yes.
And were your suggestions used?
Let me see. I think I probably put in maybe 15 or 20 since I've been there at the shop, and I think two have been. One was a safety issue that they had a pop machine set up facing the door as it opened, so you had to have your head right by the door while you were leaning to the pop machine, and it was just to move the pop machine, and they did it. So that was one of them. We had one where I actually got paid for, where it was we were putting tape on a piece of a molding or something like that to hold it on, and we didn't need the amount of tape, so we cut the tape in half, and I think I got $350 for that, which was, wasn't a lot of money, but it was nice.
Doreen Howard. You hired in the 84 time frame. During your tenure with General Motors, were you ever laid off?
Oh, yeah. I've been laid off, counting right now, twice since I've been at General Motors. Well, other than the short layoffs, because, you know, you go through your, you know, you might be laid off for 2 weeks and 2 weeks on and stuff like that, which I don't consider a real layoff. I was laid off for almost 2 years back in 86, and then now I got laid off in 2003, and I've been off now for almost 16 months, so, you know, those are layoffs, the little 2 weeks here and there, when there's slowdowns and stuff like that. So if you want to count those, I've probably been laid off maybe 7 or 8 times, but those were just short and it really didn't affect anything.
During your time frame of layoff, how did that affect your lifestyle?
Actually, I'm kind of lucky at GM because the first one kind of affected me more than anyone because it was my first layoff, so I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. You're scared because you're getting laid off. It's just the end of my job. You know, you leave, they take your time card and everything like that. You hand in all your tools and stuff like that. It's like, you know, should I make sense? So you go out, and I went out and I got another job and everything. I went back to work for 2 jobs again. So, you know, and you know, I wasn't sure that I would ever come back. So that was scary. Then as you know, the other layoffs, you know, you pretty much knew that you were coming back. This time right here, I knew that I was coming back. So the first one affected me. It was scary, and I had to make some changes and stuff, but, you know, I got through it, so it was all right.
How did with the plant closing, how did that personally affect you with the recent closing and knowing that they're going to demolition this particular building?
Well, you know, you're always going to miss Fisherbody where you started off, you know, where you've made so many friends. I mean, just, you know, just the look of the building when you come up, you know it in your sleep, you know, it's like I miss the coach, you know, seeing the coach when I come in, you know, it's, you're going to miss a lot of things. You're going to miss the old cafeteria, you're going to miss the raggedy building, the different things about it, but I was sad, you know, when I walked out of there and knew that I wasn't going to ever come back into this place again, and, you know, you're sad, you know, but, you know, like I said, with General Motors, you know, you realize that you have to move on and change, so it wasn't that bad.
You touched based on the coach. Can you explain what that is and what that represented to the workforce?
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I guess back in the late 1800s, you know, early 1900s, GM Fisherbody was a separate company itself, and they used to just build actually coaches that reported by horses, and then they sold the coaches and everything like that. And then when they started building cars, they kept the logo as the coach and stamped it on each car body that they built. And we built just the body part, the underbody, the wheels and the tranny and the motor that was put on at Oldsmobile across town. So it was kind of a source of pride when you saw that coach on anybody that you saw out in the street and everything like that, you know. So they stopped doing that, I think, in 87 or something like that, I'm not sure, but that was probably the most traumatic thing since I was at Fisherbody, because when those cars came down the line and you didn't see that coach in there, it really did kind of hurt. So, you know, that I'd have to say that was the most traumatic.
Over the years of the Fisherbody plant, they were known as the capital of quality.
Yes.
What do you feel is the reason for everyone's view of the capital of quality? How do you think the people in our plant are represented by that statement?
Well, I think it's a good representation. I think you go in there and I think everybody, I think 99% of the people that walk through that door want to build a quality car. And I think, you know, I remember when I first hired in, there's people down the line, you know, you missed this, I got it for you, I'll pick it up and pick it up, I mean, by fix it for you and make sure your job's done right. There's always someone looking over your shoulder. I think our quality kind of got hurt a little bit when they went away from so much as of giving you time to be able to fix something that was done wrong and saying that something has to be done right. So when something was missed, that, you know, it didn't get picked up. But I think they're starting to realize that you, well, at least they, it seems that they might be picking up that you got to give people time to be able to fix something, you know, in station.
Marilyn Coulter, while we're talking about the people and the jobs, what would you say is the biggest misconception about Lansing Fisher Body Auto Workers?
Well, my pet peeve is we're all beer drinkers and bowlers, and and if you come into the shop, you know, and my wife worked for the state of Michigan, you know, there's just as many people that go to church every day, that, you know, have families, that have gone to college, that do different things, build cars, build houses. I mean, there's so many. I mean, like I always tell everybody, I said, if I ever need anything done, all I have to do is go down the line, and there's somebody at Fisher Body that knows someone or does that works in the shop that can help you out with it. It's just so diverse, and every time I hear that, it really upsets me, because, you know, I don't think that there's any more alcoholism, drug addiction in Fisher Body than there is at any other major company in the world. So it's, you know, I just hate it when people say that in the press.
I know you said the thing about church. Were there many Bible study groups that you noticed in the plant?
Oh, yeah, there's always Bible study groups and different meetings and different fellowship things going on if you want to get involved with them and stuff. So there's always people you can go to that had set up at Fisher Body that you could go to if you had problems. So, you know, there was a lot of support there if you needed it.
What would you say was the most fascinating thing that you found out that one of your coworkers did?
Oh, let me see. Well, like I said, I worked with a guy that was a builder that built houses. I mean, he was a contractor. I mean, he built the whole house from ground up. I thought that, because I love working on my house and everything like that, so I thought that was really fascinating. But then I've worked with guys that have built cars from scratch, and, you know, ordered a kit in and took it out of the box piece by piece and built a car, you know. So there's different. I worked with a guy that was a lawyer, you know, and so it was just, you know, there's not one person, but there's just so many different things that you're shocked, everything like that, you know. So there's just a lot of things.
So now, you said you worked with somebody who was a lawyer.
Yes, when I first hired him in Trim, when I first went to Trim, I was working with a guy, and he had passed the bar and everything like that, and was a lawyer.
So actually, there's a lot of educated people.
Yes.
That don't realize. Now, I personally know some things about you. Now, you have a pretty special hobby that's also become a business for yourself. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that is?
I cater. I do a lot of parties. I do a lot of retirement. I do maybe one or two weddings a year, depending on the year. It's the kind of work, as I say, you know, you go to cater a wedding or something, and it's just like going to a party, so it never feels like you're working. I was head baker at Kroger's for 15 years before I came to General Motors, so. You know, I've been around food and baking and cooking, and so it's always been fun.
So, did you cook for a lot of the retirements of your coworkers?
Yes, I've done. Yes, since I've been laid off, I've done six or seven retirements for the people that have retired since I've got off. And while I was working, I it seems like every other month I was doing some kind of retirement or party for somebody in the shop.
During your time up in paint, when you first came in, my husband also worked in paint in there even prior to when you came in, and he talked about people actually cooking food in the ovens and things like that. Were you ever involved in anything like that in that area when you came in? I wasn't sure if that was something.
We cooked up there, but paint wasn't, and running through the ovens and everything, we never did that. We heard of people doing stuff like that. We never did that, but we heard of people. But we were more or less, when I was in paint, we just bring everything in prepared and everything like that, because paint is there's the fumes and the chemicals and stuff up there. It's just not a place to cook in, you know. But when I was in body shopping in Trim, we fry fish, you know. There's people frying fish, and there was where the cars came out of, where they were washed, there's a big vacuum that sucks all the steam and the hot air up out of the body shop. And there was people actually over there grilling, you know. You get your steak grilled, you know, get your potato salad, you can get your rolls and everything like that. So there was a lot more serious cooking done in paint and trim than it was in body and trim than it was in paint.
There was quite a few people who had their own little businesses within a business inside of the shop. They had coffees or pastries or some type of snacks. Were you ever involved in anything like that?
Well, I never. Actually, I brought in pop for a while, but I didn't get involved in it that much. But when I first came down to Body Shop, there was a guy that actually had a store down there where you could buy anything from toothpaste to aspirin to pliers, lighters. I mean, if anything that you might need on a night, he had there in his shop. And I bet you had like a wall packed 20 feet long, 10 foot high of different junk, sunglasses, anything. So there were some guys in here, you know, that had quite big businesses going on, you know. And it was in... And you kind of miss those because it was, you know, things that, you know, the vendors' machines, they have things, but it's nothing like, you know, going in, paying your money and getting your cash back, you know, then waiting for it to go to the machine and having so much different variety. So, yeah, you kind of miss those guys.
I wanted to take you back to when you first hired in. You said you were in the paint mix group. For the most part, that was generally something that was a high seniority position. And I heard a lot of stories over the years of people having beds and having all kinds of food, refrigerators, and you name it. Can you talk to that aspect of the...
Well, yeah, that's where I so popped at was when I was in paint repair, because paint repair is like, you have to realize, if the line is running good, that just means if your cars are coming through and everything is going right, then there's nothing to do in repair because there's no repair. You know, so you have a downtime. You may have blocks of hours of downtime, 2 or 3 hours at a time. But, you know, when line's running good, you're working when you're having a bad day. But so that gives people time. I remember the guy making a living room set out of the cardboard boxes, you know, just, you know, taped and wrapped and had a nice couch and tables, and there was refrigerators and stuff like that there. It was funny too. It's like, because these guys would like just bring in the coil from the refrigerator that they were throwing out or something at home and wire it into their locker and make it into a refrigerator or cooler and stuff. So there was a lot of things going on, and there was chairs and beds and everything like that, you know. And it was funny too, because it was like you could come into the paint spray room when the line was empty and you would see no one there. It would just be empty and everything like that. And one car would come down and in a matter of a minute there'd be 60 guys standing around waiting to do their jobs and everything like that, because they would climb out of different little hollows they had here and there and barricaded yourself in the under tables and stuff like that. So it was quite funny, and it was a good time, so.
You touched base on people making things while they're in there. During your time frame there, did you ever have any skilled trades people or anyone else, or you personally make any government jobs for yourself?
Government jobs, I've had a lot of those. Government job is when there's, like I work with a couple of skilled trade guys over the summertime, we have a 2-week shutdown period. And it depends longer if we're having a model change. That's where you change over your body style. But where there's the foreman hasn't given you a job assignment yet, so you have some time. So instead of just saying, I'm going to do something for myself, it's called government work. And you might go build a table or a special chair or you know, just different stuff that, you know, somebody needed in the shop, you know. And there was a lot of that going on, you know, because if a job is going to start for another 2 hours, well, that means I got 2 hours to build me a special bench with a chair that reclines and, you know, with padding on it or something. So, yeah, there was a lot of those going on.
Is there anything that we haven't touched base on that you would like to share with us?
Oh, let me see. I'd like to say a little bit more about the foremans. You know, I've worked at General Motors for 20 years, and it's like it's funny that we don't have the same give and take between the employee and the foremans now than you did when I first hired in. And I think it's a shame, but you know, it used to be a better communications. But you know, GM is going in one way right now, and you know, but That's the only big problem I see is if they continue not to have foremen that understand the job and understand the people before they give them the power to assign different jobs and tasks to people. So, you know, but other than that, it's been a good experience at General Motors.
Monte, we've talked about the supervisors. What about your union activities? Were you ever involved in the union at all?
I'm not. Well, I when I worked at Kroger's, I was a union steward. But since I've been at Fisher Body, and I just haven't had I haven't had the ambition, I should say, to get involved more than other than going and voting and, you know, and going to. I've been there 20 years, and I bet you I've been to less than 20 meetings. Yes, which is, you know, which is bad, you know, and I know it's bad. I have taken some labor law and labor bargaining classes. I've been off right now, and I do realize that is a problem with the membership. So, you know, I am hoping to change, but, you know, in the past I haven't been really active.
Doreen Howard, I had another question. Were you ever involved in doing any of the check pools or any of that kind of stuff that a lot of the people took up collections for football or any of the different sporting events that they used to do?
Yeah, I think everybody's gotten to the check pool where you know, high change wins. If you know, the closest one to 99 cents wins, and you bet a buck, you know. And they've gone, you know, they were from a buck all the way up to, like, maybe $5, you know, for a check pool. Then you had your football squares where I had only played the $5 ones because I'm cheap, but they've went anywhere from $5 up to, I've heard of them in there being $100 a square, which you could win thousands of dollars. I've never played. I'm just not that big a gambler, so, you know, and I have heard of those. And I do remember when I first hired in, there was a guy that would come around and, you know, cash your checks for you and everything like that, you know, right there on the job and everything. Like, he'd come in with $6,000 or $7,000 and cash people's checks up and down the line and everything like that, you know. But that's all changes. I think they still have a lot of the check pools, but it's just small groups now. It's not like it used to be. It used to be, if you had a check, it might be 200 people in a check pool, you know. But now it's mainly a group, so you might have 15, 20 people at the most. So it's different. It's a lot different than when I hired in.
Monte, last question. As we get ready to go to the new facility, what's the biggest thing you think you're going to miss about Fisher Body Lansing Upper London?
I'm going to miss the old school ways. I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss the ways how things were done. You know, I remember, you know, a lot of good times, where we got things done without management and union and employees being at each other's throats, where it was all just worked out. You know, you need a fan. Well, okay, the foreman would just go and order your fan. Now, you know, it might take you 6 months to get a fan when you're working outside of an oven. It seems like the more changes make, the harder it is to make changes. So it just takes longer now for things to get done, to get things changed once they're put in place. So I'm going to miss the old school of doing things where, you know, if it needs to be fixed, we fix it in place of, well, we have to get three engineers down here and call up, you know, headquarters and get this okayed and stuff. So, and I know there's a lot of reasons for that, but I'm going to miss the old ways.
One last question. Can you give me your reaction, I guess, to the demolition of the Fisher Body facility? How does that personally affect you?
You know, I'm still hoping that, you know, every time I drive by there, I'm still hoping they find a reason to keep that open. I'm still hoping that it won't. I know it's going to be torn down. And I know when I drive by there and it's an empty field, or it's houses or condos or whatever they do put there, or a golf course, I'm going to, you know, always remember it there, and I'm going to miss going by there and seeing it. I even drive by with my son every now and then, and I show him, and he looks up and wonders, says how big it is. But, you know, he'll be going by the new plant, and he'll be saying the same thing, too. So it changed, but I will miss the building, and it is sad to see it go.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.